On. Is that it? Is that it? Which one?
Edwin.
Edwin? Okay. Linda, thank you again for being in here for us. Well, I need to start out this week with my disclaimers, like the paper does from the previous one. I'm fully aware, as I was well made aware of, Mark didn't write the book of Acts. I know that. I know it was Moses, so y'all don't get on me. I misspoke. I even had it written in my notes wrong. So I went back and confirmed it by reading some of it to make sure that Luke was the author of the book of Acts. And when I give out doctor thing, I play a doctor, but I'm not one. I never did do the education for it or nothing. But I do play one at home quite a bit. And so don't take any of that. Don't, man, you'll get me for malpractice. So I'm not a doctor. Several years ago, my little band of guys that I rodeoed with, we were scheduling some rodeos to go to, and there was a rodeo in Duluth, Minnesota. It's where I-35 runs out. I mean, it runs right down into the city limits, and it's done. It's a long ways from here. There was a rodeo up there, and it was the Paint Horse Association's Diamond Classic. They were given these really nice buckles, had diamonds in them, and I told my guys, I said, man, we got to go. I want to win that buckle. Well, we stair-stepped up through Missouri and over into Iowa and then finally made it up to Duluth on Sunday, and I won the rodeo. Actually, John Reed's got the buckle. It was one of the ones I was able to give away before my wife made me quit giving buckles away. But I won that buckle, and I thought about that this week. We participated in certain rodeos to get certain prizes. Man, I'm telling you, I've talked with several of y'all this week. I don't know who gets the buckle for tribulation. I'm telling you, there's been everybody that I've talked to this week has just been bombarded. I mean, bombarded beyond anything. You know, I looked at my wife one day this week and I said, who you want to trade troubles with? And she said, nobody. You know, we all go through tribulation. And there's a reason that we're in this tribulation is because Satan is our adversary. I want you to understand something today. He hates your guts. He hates you beyond any that you could ever imagine. He hates you because you were created in the image of God who He wanted to take the place of. And He hates you beyond anything you can ever fathom. But those of you who have been in my class before, don't answer out loud, but where is Satan? Somebody. Where? Everywhere? Here? Right. Satan can only be in one place at one time. He's an angelical being. He's an angel. He was created by God. The creation can never do what the Creator don't want him to do. To the utmost, okay? And we're given a free will, but understand, if God doesn't allow it, it doesn't happen. Somehow Satan lied enough to himself that he got it in his head that he could do those things. And that's what cast him out, or got him cast out of heaven. It wasn't anything he ever did. It was his attitude. When I teach, I usually teach a bull riding school every year, I teach this specific thing, that Satan got kicked out of heaven not for anything he did, but because of his attitude. He said, I will ascend on high. Well, he couldn't do that. He couldn't take God's place. But what we do when we say, well, he's everywhere, we put him omnipresent like God, and we do what he asks us to do. And so we have to be careful of that, of knowing who our enemy is, what he is, and who he is. The first glimpse we get of Satan is in Genesis chapter 3. We see where God has created everything and it was all good. And then chapter 3 and verse 1, we see where, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. He was more subtle than any beast of the field. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for those who are present. Lord, I pray for those who aren't here, Lord, that you'd just give them traveling mercies to be back with us. Lord, I pray that, Lord, this message would encourage, Lord, those who are downtrodden, Lord, they've come to your house, Lord, to be lifted up. Lord, let us as a people rally around them and, Lord, just lift them up. Lord, but more importantly, that your word would be sufficient. We ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Genesis says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Now, we just kind of roll right on through this because, again, when we read biblical accounts, we kind of already know the end of it. So we just kind of get right on to, you know, where they're going to. But did anybody ever stop to think, here's this serpent talking to Eve? Obviously, it was nothing out of the ordinary to her, or else, you know, she was brand new to all this and didn't know that that communication isn't there now. It may have been at one time. But it says, he said to Eve. So here's this serpent. Now, we understand this to be Satan in the serpent. Revelation 12:9 says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." But we have this serpent, and we understand that the snake that was in the Garden of Eden is this evil thing. And I will tell you today that's a representation of an evilness. Now, there may be some snake lovers in here, or some people that's got snakes in their homes. Give me a break. But it represents some type of evil. Unless it's through the medical field. Y'all understand the brazen serpent on the staff. That's straight out of the Bible from Moses, or God telling Moses to lift up the serpent to look and live. But I dare say we have a lot of snakes on our place. And there's these great big black snakes that are supposed to be good. But man, they're good when they're dead. You know? I mean, there was one on the front porch here a while back, and I threw him out in the yard, and I shot him, and come to find out it was one of those good snakes. Well, it was now, but it's just hard to differentiate because of that feel and look that they present. But I wondered how we got from the serpent to the snake, okay? The snake is of the kingdom, of course. You have all the classes, okay? You have the kingdom is, he's in the animal kingdom. Class is reptile. The order is Squamata. And then the suborder is Serpentes, which is where we get the serpent, okay? That's how they get devolved from this talking snake, okay? The Hebrew word Nakash, actually would mean maybe even a shining, upright creature of this serpent. So I slowed down and saw where the serpent said unto Eve. And I thought, wow, that's kind of out of the ordinary. Here's this serpent talking to Eve, but she just kind of took it in stride. And the serpent said, God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of every tree, of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. That was a lie. That was a lie. That's not what God said. God said, don't partake of this certain tree. Okay? He said, the reason I don't want you to is because it won't be good for you. See, God knew better, and he said, don't partake of it because it won't be good for you. But here Eve is talking to the serpent. And again, the devil's in this serpent. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. Well, that was a lie. Because when they disobeyed God, they brought death into mankind. Not just mankind, but the animals as well. Everything now has to die because of Eve being deceived here. In Genesis 3:3, he says, she says, "But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die." They begin to take away from the Word of God. And I think, Punyett, in our lives today, they first started by doubting God's Word. Eve doubted what God had said. We do that. We doubt God's Word, don't we? I said, my whole problem in my life is my lack of faith. That's my whole problem. It's not the sin nature that I have that compounds things, but it's my lack of faith. My lack of faith in the Word of God. You know, we all can say that, you know, well, you know, I just don't know that God can provide for everything that I need. Right? I mean, you get down to, well, I need to give my tithes and offerings, but man, I got this deal tomorrow morning. You know, I just don't know that God can provide. But 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We don't need to start doubting God's Word. God said He would provide for every need. Now that want bill you got in the morning, that might be your problem, because that was a want, not a need. But we can't start doubting God's Word. And then we begin to change God's Word. Somebody help me with James chapter 4, resist the devil and what? What is it? Resist the devil. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. But that's not what the Word of God says. Word of God says, therefore, submit yourselves unto God. First of all, you must submit yourselves unto God's will. Then resist the devil and he will flee. Better? We submit ourselves unto God first. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. When my wife and I was the youth directors, I used to tell the youth, you need Scripture. Every time Jesus was accosted by Satan, he said, it is written. He used the written Word of God. Now, you can't just, you know, come up with Jesus wept. You know, if it doesn't apply, it's not really going to, you know, strike the chord that it needs to. So, you need to have the Word of God within you. Hidden in your heart, as we say. The Holy Spirit will enable you to bring it out. But we begin to doubt God's Word. Then we begin to change God's Word. And then we begin to reject God's Word. And when we begin to reject His Word, we say, well, I don't really believe everything that's written in there. You know, I believe that for God so loved the world, but man, I don't know about this other stuff, you know. I wonder oftentimes about women pastors. My Bible says, can't happen. That's what my Bible says. But yet, they just don't go over to there. I got into a confrontation with a lady one time about speaking in tongues. And I said, what about where it says if somebody come in and y'all were speaking all in tongues that they'd say you're mad? She said, I've never heard that. You'll have to show me. And I said, okay. So I showed her and she said, I've never seen that. Well, I wouldn't doubt that. If they're teaching that on one side of the room, they're probably not going to show that on the other side. So there's often times when the Word of God just doesn't come out in its whole. Look in Revelation 22. We get over here to the end of God's completed Word. And we see that Revelation chapter 22, Verse 18. John says, "For I testify unto every man that heareth the word of prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book." Eve started taking away from God's word right at the very beginning, at the onset. It's been happening for thousands of years. God warns against it here. That word book there in verse 19 is the Greek word biblion. The Greek word for book is biblion, but in verse 19 it's biblios, which is where we get the term Bible. That's where we get our term using the Bible. But we're not to add or take away anything from the Word of God. Eve began to do that. God spoke what He wanted done, and she began to add to or take away. And again, we're warned about that we just need to take God's Word at its written face value and stand on that. That's where our faith comes in. We read it and we believe it based on faith. And it's because the Holy Spirit is who makes us believe. Look in Genesis chapter 6. Try chapter 3 and verse 6. That'll work a lot better with what I'm doing. And the woman, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave unto her husband with her, and he did eat. We have the three things here that's presented to us: the appeal to the body, the appeal to the soul, and the appeal to the spirit. I promise you that the devil's not going to make sin, any of the five human senses, bad. It's not going to smell bad. It's not going to taste bad. It's not going to look bad. It's not going to feel bad. And it's not going to sound bad. It's going to be on the contrary. And it'll be in ways that he can get to you. You know, and it varies through all of us. You know, with some of it's financial things. With some of it's physical things. And it's not that that we're not to enjoy these things that we have that God has for us, but when He says not the things of this world, it's possessions and positions and pleasures that take away from God and from what we're doing for the cause of the kingdom. The possessions that we have are nothing but fodder for the fire. You understand that? I'm telling you, I got to thinking about it even while I was studying this. Things that meant a whole lot to me at one time in my life just doesn't mean anything now. Doesn't mean anything. You know, the things that mean the most are my kids. I mean, that's it. All of us in here can testify to that. Our children mean the most to us, more than they'll ever know. Because the rest of the stuff is just possessions. They're things that when we're gone, nobody else is going to care about it. And I have to confess, Mom's not here, but we've thrown a lot of Grandma's stuff away. You know? I mean, we just did. But there's things that are important to me now that aren't important to people on down the road. Those are just possessions. Those are things that don't matter at all. That's okay to have nice things, and I enjoy the things that we have, but not to the extent, you know, we own a boat, but we don't own a boat on Sunday. You know, I remember one time a guy that went to church with us said another guy that went to church with us, they both got boats at the same time. He realized what was going on, and he sold his boat, and the other guy didn't. he was gone from church. You know, that was that one day he had for himself. And they, you know, besides, you can worship God out on the lake just like you can here. Because they do, yeah, you know they do. They take that waterproof Bible out there and they just go at it. I know they do. Worshiping God's kingdom. They're worshiping the creation and not the Creator. The positions in life, man, when we come in here, we're all the same. Every one of us are the same. Doesn't matter our economic status, doesn't matter our social status, nothing matters. We're all exactly the same when we come in here. We're just sinners saved by grace.
Amen.
And it gives us that common bond that we can all come and share together. And as I've said before, excuse me, man, we come in here and we open up our hearts to each other. Man, pray for my son. He's this. Pray for my daughter. She's this. Pray for my mom. Pray for... I mean, we just open up our hearts to each other like we're family. Because we are. You know, and there's been people that have stood up in here and said things that wouldn't speak in an open forum no matter what the circumstance was. But they knew because they were in here. First of all, they were loved. Second of all, is because we care. I'm telling you, my heart's been broken this week. And you know, my health-wise this week was miserable. But I thought, man, that doesn't compare to you guys. Man, y'all, you know, I mean, some of you are ongoing things, you know, that just doesn't seem to change. You know, it's just every week, you know, every week. And you come in here, hey, you know, keep praying for us. You know, don't take us off the prayer list, you know. That's what I'm telling you. If there's no minor surgeries if it's me, you know. I mean, some of y'all have procedures. And I don't care what kind of procedure it is. If I'm having it, everybody right down here at the altar on Sunday morning, all right? Everybody. We know that Jesus was tempted or tested, and it's always hard to understand why. If Satan knew that he couldn't defeat Jesus, why would he test him? And I've tried to explain this, that it wasn't a test of Jesus, it was a test of the test. When they purify gold, they put it in a searing pot where they heat it up so hot it burns off all the iron ore, and they skim that off, and they get down to pure gold. And once they get down to that pure gold, they put it back in the fire again. And if anything comes off of it the second time, then it wasn't pure gold. But that's the test. They're testing the test. And that's what Jesus did. He just tested the test. He was pure the whole way through. So the test was there, but he just tested the test. He wasn't ever going to be tempted and fail. He just tested the test. As I said, the worldly possessions and things is okay. We're in this world, and God so loved the world that He sent His Son. So it's not the world that He's against. It's the ideology of this world, of the possessions and the things that actually bring us down. You know, I don't want a bunch of money. I just don't. Because I don't think that I would handle it well, and I think it would drive me out somewhere else. I've counseled with some of the guys 3 or 4 years ago. We went down to New Orleans for the hurricane relief, and we made obscene money. But be careful, because Satan may offer you money. You know, he offered Delilah money. He offered Judas money. Be careful where you go, because you know what it did to me? I didn't see it. Man, I just went down there and said, yeah, I'll take all that money. But you know what it did to me? It took me out of here. It took me out of church. It took me out of the things that we did as a family. It took me out and away, and I didn't see it. I just thought, wow, God's blessing me. God's blessing me with all this money, and I got nothing to show for it. Except I was gone. You know, so be careful, because Satan will offer you money. We've got documented evidence that he'll do that. to take you out of what you, because I wasn't going to leave any otherwise. I was going to be here every Sunday. You know, and the devil is subtle more than any creature on the face of the earth. Look in Job. Probably next to John, my favorite book of the Bible. Job chapter 1, we see where Job chapter 1 and verse 6 says, "Now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. And the Lord said unto Satan, Whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, From going to and fro in the earth, and walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Understand the problems that Job went through. Job didn't have a clue this meeting happened. He didn't have no idea. He was just down there worshiping God and taking care of his business and eschewing from evil. He didn't have a clue that this was going on. But here, Satan is allowed to go and petition or go before God and before his throne. We see it at one time, Satan was on the mountain of God. He was created as one of the most high angels. His beauty and wisdom was beyond compare. And that's what got to him. He began to look at himself and say, "Hey, I think I can." And we get the seven I wills of Satan, where he says, "I will do these things." And he didn't have the power to do it to begin with. But he convinced himself of the lie. You know, if you tell a lie long enough and loud enough, they say it becomes the truth. Well, that's a lie. Because it don't ever become the truth. No matter how long you say it or how loud you say it, it doesn't make it the truth. But Job here, Satan comes before God and petitions him about Job. Or actually God says, "Hey, what about Job?" And he says, "Well, the problem with it is you've got him surrounded and you know he's got all these nice things. Well, sure he's going to praise you. But take some of that away and see what he does." God knew the outcome before the conversation ever started. He knew Job. He knew Job's heart. And he knew that Job wouldn't ever deny him. But let me show you what's going on a daily basis in Revelation chapter 12. I saw this, and it just kind of gave me cold chills. But it'll also fortify the things that we're doing today. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 10. John says, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accuseth them before our God day and night." The accuser goes before God and tells God of the things that you and I do every day. Now, you know that he's the father of lies, and he's who created lying, right? But he doesn't go before the Father and tell lies on us. All he does is go and tell the truth, accusing us of the things that we do daily, of our sins. That's what he does. He doesn't go up there and lie. He doesn't have to do that. He just goes up there and tells the truth, and that's enough. It's enough on me. But we have an advocate to fight our adversary. Look what it says there in verse 10. "Now has come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of His Christ." See, Satan goes and accuses us before God. You know, he'll say, You know, hey, how about that Phil Hokin? Thinks he's a pretty good guy. Well, let me tell you what he did. Hey, what about this that he did? I'll just use you because you're an easy mark. No. He'll go and just tell the truth. That's all he does. He just goes and tells the truth. But if we keep reading, look in verse 11. This is what Phil does. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. Phil just went and stood before him and pled the blood of the Lamb. He just said, yep, you're right. And you can accuse me all you want, but I'm covered by the blood of the Lamb. That's all he has to say. Because when God looks upon Phil Hokett, I don't know why you fell into this, Phil. I could have just as easily picked on Kurt. Mary. Yeah. Because when he looks down, all he sees is the covering of the blood. That's all he sees. Satan is mighty, but he's not almighty. And we serve an almighty God.
Amen.
Satan has powers of this world. He's the prince and power of the air. Here in our atmosphere, he's the prince and power. But he's not the almighty power. And he can't have a hold on us if we're washed in the blood. Look at 2 Corinthians. This is one we keep going back to. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. It's come up several times in our last several Sunday school meetings. Chapter 4 and verse 4 says, in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Satan is after your mind. And that's what you have to be aware of and have to have knowledge of that he's after your mind. That's why it's so important to stay in your Bible and stay reading the Word of God. If you don't comprehend it, if you get over there into 2 Chronicles and it goes on and on and on, you just keep reading the Word of God. Because it says it won't return void. You just keep reading it and keep reading it and stay in it, because Satan's after our minds. The eyes are the portals to our mind, right? Be careful what we look at, because it's going to affect our minds. We need to stay constant on the Word of God. Satan's after our minds, but look at verse 6. God's after our hearts. Says that He hath shined in our hearts to give what? To give the light of knowledge. You know, we all want to say, man, I've read the end of the book. I know how it comes out. Most of us haven't read the end of the book, but we've heard about the ending of it. So we find out that one day Satan will be cast into hell and forever there remain. But right now, he's walking to and fro, seeking who he can devour. And we can stand there and say, well, he won't get to me. Well, that's just when he will. And you'll say, well, he won't get to me because I'm this, this, and this. Well, you're also that, and that's where he'll get to you at. We got to be ever present and ever mindful that he hates your guts. And you know what? He's got more help than you can imagine. Not just from the third of the angels that came from out of heaven to help him, but he's got us. You know, this generation here remembers Flip Wilson and the devil made me do it, right?
Yeah.
Well, be careful giving credit where credit's not due. The devil don't always make you do it.
Right.
Sometimes we do it ourselves. So the devil don't need any more help. He's got us. He's got our weak flesh. He's got the help of his nymphs, if you will. But He doesn't need any more help because we'll just give right into Him. And then we'll be all down in the mouth, or we'll be all upset and not understand that, you know, don't let Satan have the victory. Man, don't let that friend that loves you, that cares for you, that you get mad at, so that Satan gets the victory. And we got to have compassion on one another and understand that it's a battle and that Satan absolutely hates you. See, there's God, there's the angelical beings, and then there's the human beings. The book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus made himself a little lower than the angels. You know, the angels have power that we have no idea about. We're going to discuss them in the next coming months, but they have powers that we don't have. You know, we're contained in time, space, and matter that they're not. They were created different at a different time. We, on the other hand, were created in God's image. And because of that, Satan absolutely hates you. He hates you, and he wants everybody to get the blame and take everybody down that he can. Look in John chapter 16. Verse 33. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." What else do you need? Man, if you're downtrodden today, if you've had a week like most of you I know have had, man, just understand, it's already put down for you. You're going to have tribulation. But Jesus here says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that you might have peace." And we have peace through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can mope in it. We can do like Peter did when he stepped out of the boat and began to look at our surroundings and say it's hopeless. Or we can keep our eyes on the Savior. And what happened to Peter when he put his eyes back on the Lord Jesus Christ? He rose right back up out of the water. His circumstances didn't matter. He was walking on the water, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know if any of you have ever seen anybody do that. He was walking on the water. And when he took his eyes off Christ and began to look at his circumstances, he said, "This is impossible." Anybody ever been there? This is impossible. But we serve an impossible God. And you know, all we have to do is have faith. Not a whole lot of faith. Just a faith the size of a mustard seed. But Jesus said, "We'll have tribulation in this world, but be of good cheer." You know, sometimes we go through storms just to see how we're going to come out on the other side. You know, I look at problems today and I say, you know what? I know I'm going to get out of this. Why don't I come out with a good report rather than a bad report? You know, I've been through this kind of stuff before. Why don't I just come out on the other side with a good report and show God that my faith is strong, that my belief in Him is stronger than any of the waves, any of the storm, any of the "this is impossible to walk on water." And I'm telling you, all we have to do is have the faith of a mustard seed and believe in the Word of God. Not diluting it, not changing it, not adding to it or taking away from it. Just believe what it says. And though we go through tribulation, and though we struggle and we fight, understand, I kind of wanted to come in here today and go, okay, this group over here's got this problem going on. And everybody goes, "Well, they beat me." Well, hang on, this one over here's got this going on. Well, they're winning now. Man, I'm telling you, there's people in here hurting. My prayer this morning is that we're extra compassionate today. Man, give somebody a songbook or let them have your seat, because you don't know what they went through this last week. And it might be more than what you went through. And you might be here just to encourage them. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again for this day. Lord, thank you for your word. Lord, that we can stand on your word. Father, and when our circumstances tell us that it can't happen, that your word tells us that it can. Lord, help us to get into your word. Lord, just let our minds be saturated with your word, Lord, so that the devil couldn't get to our minds, Lord, and that you've already got our hearts. Lord, help us be compassionate to one another. Lord, those with so many problems in here today, Lord, I pray that they would leave them out the door. Lord, they'd leave them on the altar and let you deal with them. Lord, these who, Lord, have physical problems, Lord, I pray that you would just heal them. Lord, with these with physical or financial problems, Lord, again, you're the God of impossibilities, and we thank you for that. Lord, be with our services to follow. In Christ's name, amen.